The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. We're back with the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show here on Youth Turkey Day, and we were just hoping that, we would hear from some of the youngsters out there getting ready to go turkey hunting, and we still can, 410 WCBM 680, but right now we have with us a guest on the guest line. Good morning, Harry. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing?
Good. Harry Hornick is with us for Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service, and Harry, what's your title, buddy?
I'm a fisheries biologist with the striped bass program and the Access Point Intercept, Angler Intercept program in the Fishing and Boating Services, and here to try to answer your questions on striped bass.
I guess it's not fishery service anymore. It's now Fishing and Boating Services, right?
It's Fishing and Boating Services. We still, our job is the same. We just kind of incorporated some more people into our division,
right?
Or administration. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep, got it.
Our job is the same.
So yep, sure.
The same. Yep.
All right. So I think when we had you on earlier, weren't you on earlier this year talking about striped bass?
I've been on a couple shows with you over the years.
Yeah. Maybe it was Eric. Eric was telling us about this, change to 19 inches, and you wrote about it in the latest issue of the, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, the once a year fishing outlook. You mentioned it, and we've been hearing about this 19 inch reduction from 20 inches to 19 inches in the summer season. And a week or so ago, we got the information that, here it's a done deal. We got new regulations, 19 inch size limit, non offset circle hooks for all kinds of bait fishing out in the bay. And then last Friday, what happened? It blew up.
Well, like every plan or fisheries management plan proposal that, the department has. I mean, there's revisions. There's refinements to
oh, yeah,
our,
of course.
To our work.
Always.
And, this is just something that there were, this plan had gone through, our Sport Fish and Advisory Fishery Commission,
right,
groups, and there were some revisions. Groups, again, all these regulations and changes, they don't just happen overnight, and they don't just happen, DNR doesn't say, oh, we're just going to change this, we're going to do this and do that. I mean, we go through a vetting process, basically, and we're trying to balance conservation and recreation. And I mean, the plan itself, we by lowering the minimum size and then, putting in circle hooks, that we would actually, the harvest, the catch of striped bass may go up a little bit, but the overall mortality, like the total numbers lost, would go down. And at the same time, we're going to, had expected to increase, by lowering that to 19 inches.
But, right.
Last year, people, we were hearing everything from, oh, I had to catch 25 fish before I could catch a legal one.
Right.
Some people were saying 200 fish for every legal one. And it's like, well, that was because of that 2011 year class that was out there. And
right.
Just other year classes.
Right.
And we're really going to be faced with the same thing this year because of the 2015 year class, which
right.
Now is 3 years old. And, a lot of those fish are, I mean, the size range of those fish, I mean, it's kind of crazy. You have one year class of fish, but they can be anywhere from at this point in time, 11, 12 inches to 20 inches.
Exactly.
And it's a fairly large, group of fish. So again, this proposal that was put through, the idea was that, hey, let's lower it to 19. Let's go with circle hooks that, you know, the bycatch that does occur, or, you know, the catch and releasing that is going on, you know, some of that mortality would be kind of, you know, kind of mitigated by the use of circle hooks, which we know does cut down on hooking mortality.
And we've talked about that innumerable times
with
here.
Eric, right.
You know, with Eric and, you know, Rudy, who did the initial study, he's listening this morning, I'm sure. And
Rudy's the godfather.
Oh, he's godfather circle hooks, no question. Yeah, you got to be something, so.
Yeah, I mean, he was very knowledgeable. He did great work.
Sure.
And the thing is, people like, I've heard someone say, oh, well, who did that work? What was the motivation? And it's like, the motivation was to find out what's the effect of using circle hooks versus other hooks.
Exactly.
And that's what he did.
And it's reduced the amount of dead fish floating in the bay.
Yes.
That's what it is. Very, very simple. There were a lot of dead fish floating in the bay last year. There's some every summer season.
Well, that's fishing. I mean,
we're going to have mortality. Get it. I understand it. And there's one very famous fish that was found floating in the bay a number of years ago. And you and I'll share that story off the air, but, anyway.
Another story.
Huh?
I said another story.
Oh, another story. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the story someday. I don't think I've ever told it on the air. I'm not going to because, you know, some of the parties are no longer with us and, it would be extremely embarrassing if we were to tell that, but it's okay. Anyway, maybe in my memoirs, I'll publish them, allow them to be published 100 years after my death, like Charles Cooper, you know. So anyway, the initial proposal, the sticking point, it seems like, with the captains and some other folks was the fact that you've got a number of different uses for bait out there in the bay. And basically the circle hook thing said all live bait fishing is going to have to be with non-offset circle hooks. Is that kind of where this thing went initially?
Well, I think where it was and where it ended up.
Yeah.
You know, where it ended up was that, okay, you know, circle hooks will be used
for rockfish.
For rockfish, like basically circle hooks will be used during chumming and
live lining. Chumming and live lining, right.
Right. And when fishing with bait, you know, then there'll be GA hooks, which is what some user or, you know, the fishermen that are fishing with J hooks for other species, you know, they would have been negatively impacted. So, something
you can't tell perch fisherman that he's got to spend 50 cents per one hook on his top and bottom rig and put, you know, $12 bloodworms on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to kick back, you know. So, you can buy a pack of number six, Eagle Claws for, you know, under $2 and rig your top and bottom rig. You got six hooks or whatever you got. And, you know, they're going to be far more effective than using the little tiny circle hook, I think.
Right.
You know, cost prohibitive for the bait fishermen in per se.
Right. There would definitely be an impact.
You know, you're not gonna tell a black drum fisherman of putting a whole soft crab on there that you have to use a non-offset circle hook to catch a black drum. Not gonna work. So, you know, I think that's kind of where, I don't know that I would call it overstep on the circle hook things, but I don't know if all the different avenues were explored when that first decision was made, and I think that's where the kickback was, or the pushback was. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, again, our view of this is to look at the biological implications, look at the facts, you know, the management facts, you know, the information, you know, that we have. And then, of course, going through, you know, once we get a framework or a plan is to then again, you know, put it through people, you know, run it up the flagpole, I think they used to say.
But, right.
And that was something that just, you know, again, we're kind of at, you know, because of the process of going through ASMSC,
right?
You know, this is kind of delayed. We wanted to get this, you know, started on May 16th, and it's just, you know, it's been a time crunch. Just again, just because of not because of mismanagement or
No. I'm not talking. I'm not even talking about that.
No. I didn't. I'm not saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. You know, some people are like, why didn't you try this sooner? And it's like we've been working on this for a long time. And
oh yeah.
It's been a lot of time. You know, again, because we wanted to get this, you know, started during like the regular, you know, after the trophy season.
Right.
And I'm not sure you haven't mentioned it yet, but you know, now is the new plan is out there. You know, the season will run, you know, if it gets approved, will run, you know, from May 16th to December 15th.
Right.
2018. Then also will run, you know, May 16th to December 15th, 2019. And then the proposed regulations, they're going to sunset. So at that time, you know, we'll have had the SMSC, you know, stock assessment review 2018. We'll have more information. And, you know, again, look at the plans that we're doing, you know, the management strategies that we have in place.
Right.
And maybe make some other changes, you know, maybe make things a little, you know, again, the stock is, you know, will hopefully get in a little bit better shape. It's not a bad shape. I want to make sure people
understand. Look, the stock out there can take the hits that we're going to put on it, both recreational and commercial.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said the stock is sufficient enough to take the hits we put on it on a recreational and commercial basis, right?
Yeah, and on a coastal basis, you know, that's another thing. Like people talk about, you know, this area is not good, that area is not good. But on a coastal basis, because this species travels so much, it's so highly migratory.
Right.
You know, we're out there sampling right now. You know, the biologists are out there sampling on the Upper Bay. And, you know, they're encountering fish that are going to be off of New England.
Right.
In the summertime.
Right.
I mean, they're putting tags in them. Like I said, as we sit here and speak, there's people in the field, you know, working. Natural resource police are out there monitoring. I mean, there's.
Right. No question.
Like I said, they're looking at fish that in a month's time, 2 months' time, they're going to be somewhere else. And again, that's kind of the form that strike, you know, ASMSC and the striped bass, you know, it's a coastal, you know, it's a coastal.
Right.
Issue. It's a coastal, It's a coastal management strategy. Yeah.
And management strategy. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No question.
So, but anyway, you know, again, in 2 years, I mean, things may be very different. They may be the same. They may be better. I mean, we don't know. I mean, but we're managing to try to make it better. And that's what the intent of this was.
Ever since the moratorium back in the mid 80s, ever since the moratorium was lifted in the early 90s, you know, you guys have been managing striped bass conservatively, you know, for the sustainability of the species, you know, and I think most of the other states have been doing the same thing as far as their, recreational seasons are concerned. But, you know, there are some sticking points, in the wintertime, especially when the cows are staging off the coast. You know, you got the Virginia fishery, you got the North Carolina fishery, and, you know, those folks don't seem to be as conservation minded as we are here in Maryland, but those folks also don't have the great estuary and the dramatic spawning grounds that we have here in the Chesapeake Bay as well.
Oh, we're lucky here. We've got a great situation here. I mean, we've got a great situation here biologically. You know, we have an estuary that's very productive. It's got so many different fish species, so many different fishing opportunities.
Yep.
And, you know, 90% or more some years of the striped bass that are on the coast, you know, originate from Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
They spawn in either Virginia waters, Maryland waters, and then, you know, are enjoyed by people off North Carolina and New York and,
right.
You know, part of the coastal fishing community.
Right. That community can be exploitive. You know, as I mentioned, those winter fisheries where you're catching those, you know, those 40, 50 inch striped bass. And, you know, you just got to remember what you're doing and what kind of fish you're catching there. So, I mean,
And the other thing here is, you know, the Chesapeake Marine Fisheries Commission, I mean, people, you know, kind of look at them as overbearing or I don't like being told what to do. And it's like,
right.
they have a tough position because, again, they're trying to coordinate, you know, they're trying to manage, you know, multiple species. They're trying to manage, you know, striped bass. People think they don't want people to catch fish or they don't want people to enjoy. And it's like, no, they're trying to ensure, along with the state management agencies, that we have fish to catch. Really, you know, and when you mentioned, you know, you have concerns about those other commercial fisheries, you know, they come under ASMSC also.
Sure.
They're not, you know, doing whatever they want to do. I mean, they have to, you know, go, you know, through the management procedure and the process.
Right.
And, you know, their plans get vetted also. So I'm confident. I mean, we look at fish like a little differently than some people. I just say, you know, we need to, you know, our important points are, you know, can we count how many fish are taken? Doesn't matter whether it's commercial or recreational. It's like, that's, you know,
right.
That's for the user groups to decide. We just want to know how many fish have been taken, you know, how
Got
many
it.
Fish, you know.
What came out of the equation and what's left?
Exactly.
Where we started, what came out, and what's left over.
Yeah.
Sounds like simple mathematics, but not so simple.
Not really, but I mean, Maryland's lucky. We have some, you know, like the folks that were worked on the the circle hook 19-inch minimum side. I mean, those folks, Angela Giuliano, Alexis Sheriff, you may or may not have ever heard their names, but, you know, they're heavily involved in ASMSC, and they worked hard. Mike Luisi worked hard at on the management side of this. I mean,
sure.
they worked very hard. I mean, they're like two good scientists, and
yep.
the department's lucky to have them. I mean, they really are. I mean, there's a bunch of people who work on stress.
No question. No
like
question.
Like I said, those folks really pulled their hair out over, trying to get this thing right. You know, trying to get the numbers down and defensible.
Sure.
They did.
Harry, look, you've been invaluable here. I know you're out of state. I know you're in a hotel room in New York somewhere. And, I mean, you're welcome to stay with us, and we'll, throw it out there if you want to take some questions. We got to take our first break here, and maybe, this is the opportune time for people to call if they have questions on striped bass or the circle hook thing or whatever. We'll put you back on hold. We'll take some calls, and maybe you can talk directly to the folks while after I'm done doing these announcements. Okay? There we go. All right. Hey, look, if you like gardening, enjoy it. I've always recommended Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn, just off I-97. Papa John's greenhouses are bursting with beautiful plants and flowers ready to go. And this weekend with the weather, might be a great time to go. Annuals by the pack or flat, perennials by the pot, bedding plants, planters, hanging baskets, pansies, patience, petunias. They even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetables, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Already started, tomatoes and squash and onions and watermelon, cantaloupe, hot peppers and herbs as well. Papa John's is located just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8029 New Cut Road in Severn for you GPSers. You can drive right to the greenhouses to make your selections or call 410-969-5909. Think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or church. And guess what? Mother's Day is right around the corner, May 13th. Call 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every day. Visit Schillinger Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. Next weekend, Saturday, April 21st and Sunday, April 22nd, it's the Anne Arundel County Fairgrounds hosting the Capital Outdoor Sportsman Event located in Crownsville. It's a family-friendly event with everything for outdoor sportsmen and women, including a very interactive children's area, a place for RVs and campers with their two sponsors, which are Leo's Vacation Center and the Maryland Association of Campgrounds. There's demonstration area for ATVs. There's archery. There's an antique tractor pool on Saturday. Admission is just $5. The entertainment includes dock dogs, a lumberjack show, and canine demonstrations. So, admission is just $10 per day. You can get a wristband for $15 if you want to go both days. Kids under 12 are free with a paid adult. It runs 10 to 6 both days, Saturday and Sunday next week at the Anne Arundel County Fairgrounds in Crownsville. AACountyFair.org or 410-923-3400 for the Capital Outdoor Sportsman event. Be there. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Chesapeake Outdoors is ready for the trophy rockfish season and ready for you to stop by. They've got the whole lineup of trolling baits right there in the store, located right off Route 50 at exit 39B. That's Dominion Road on Kent Island. They've got the brand new habanero baits. They feature the rubber skirts, and you ought to see how these things are painted. They've got custom trolling baits with rubber skirts that are built by a local angler that knows what's going on. It's Kent Island's largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies. They've got great trolling combos with Andy rods and Okuma or pen reels. They've got planer boards, planer lines, all custom planer boards, custom lines, you know, custom lengths, however you want to do it. They've got the flags, they got the clips, they got everything you need for trolling with planer boards there. They've got the Yeti coolers and a beautiful selection of Costa Del Mar sunglasses. And don't forget, it's turkey season coming up too. They've got the Avian X decoys by Zinc. They've got the shotguns, the ammo, the camo, everything you need for turkey hunting as well. Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right off Kent Island. You'll be glad you stopped. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, just want to mention our buddies at Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater are having their open house today. Yes, today, 9 to 5. So stop by right there in Edgewater, Bay Country Crabbing Supply. They're on Mayo Road. Now, I want to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. They're, whew, boy, you talk about somebody that's got trolling baits and, you know, trolling rods and trolling reels. They got it all. But they also have complete line of live bait. They've got all the bull minnows, the shiners, the bloodworms, the night crawlers, the, I don't know, grass shrimp, you name it. For live bait fishing, Clyde Sports Shop has it, and they're open and ready to go for you. It's going to be a beautiful day today. Get out there and do some fishing. You know, they got the Ugly Stick rods and the St. Croix rods and the Shakespeare and the Pfluger. They got the trolling rods with the Penn Warfare on them. They've got, you know, other trolling combos if you're looking for that as well. Clyde Sports Shop, located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. If you need hooks, they've got the offset. I mean, they got the non-offset hooks as well. They got the J hooks. They got the weights. They got everything. Everything. And they have a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week fishing hotline. 247-FISH. 247-3474. 410-247-3474. Easy way to remember, 24/7 Fish, Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, Lansdowne. Their phone number, 410-242-6108, 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. You'll be glad you stopped by.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 6 to 11 Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but they have some of the most delicious fresh baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the Eastern Shore. They even did our wedding cake for our reception. I don't go through the fast food or chain store drive-thru when I'm on Route 50 headed to the marsh or going fishing. My mouth and belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or two and a fresh cup of coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery. And from 11 to 2, you can grab a tasty lunch, too. That's 11 to 2. Now, Dave and Gina Levy, your host, are trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50 East. Look for that big chocolate donut with the sprinkles on it inside of the pink building. That's Bay Country Bakery. Visit their website, Like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there.
Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest.
All right, we've got, looks like Uncle Dale on the line. Is Harry locked in? Can you put those two folks together? There we go. Good morning, Dale.
Morning, Alan.
Morning, Harry.
Hey, Dale, how are you doing?
How are you? I trust your son and daughter are out of harm's way.
We think the son is, but we're not sure. No news is good news with him, so, but okay. Thanks for asking. They're both doing
all
great.
All right, well, my best to them. Alan, I just wanted to reiterate what Harry said about all the hard work that was necessary to get this thing done.
Right.
Having dealt with ASMSC for quite a while, I know to convince them, particularly dealing with striped bass, it's I think getting that camel through the eye of the needle is probably easier. So,
exactly.
So just to reiterate the work that the Wild Russian and Linda Barker and Michael Easy did and a host of others, it's they deserve a lot of credit, a lot of credit.
Well, I'm glad you,
thanks, Dale.
Yep. And I'll go right along with Dale. I mean, I salute the Maryland Fisheries. What is it now? Fishery and Boating Service.
Fishing and Boating Service.
I mean,
part of.
Yeah, I mean, we've been dealing with you guys for a long time here on the Outdoors and Radio show and talking to a lot of the biologists and so forth. I mean, boots on the ground here in Maryland as far as fisheries is concerned. And most of DNR is pretty impressive and an example to the country.
Well, what was most discouraging, Alan, was the fact that it was just a very few individuals, one or two in particular, that tried to derail this thing.
Sure.
I've got some pretty close information. I've got a very close contact who's right in the heart of this, and I
sure.
know exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no
and
question.
You and I have talked about this before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get politics into it, which, you know, everything in state government's based on politics.
Yeah.
You know, Harry's job is based on politics. Your job is based on politics.
Yeah.
Management in wildlife decisions is based on politics, you know.
Yeah.
And the biologists can do all the work in the world they want, okay? And when a decision is made, just like we heard this week, Maryland's deer herd is not managed on biological data, or biological input, it's managed on social input. That just blew me away that it was finally admitted by a state official. So, you know, it's just, I mean, you got to be kidding me. So, Dale, you know, I salute your efforts that you were there 30 some years. Harry, of course, is, you know, right there in the midst of it. And you guys just do great work. And, you know, here we have a successful fishery here in Maryland. World-renowned, world-class, people come here from all over the country to fish for Maryland striped bass. So, there you go.
Harry, got a quick question. I was just kind of curious as to what Eric and Beth are saying.
Right now, the water temperature in the Upper Bay is, yesterday it was 48, it was 49.
That's cold, boys.
But I'm not sure if you talked to Keith Lockwood, but he had seen some spawning going on on the chop tank. So it's starting, and Eric's been seeing fish. Of course, he's been seeing lots of catfish too over on the Potomac side there.
Well, but what about the most important fish area, the chalups?
He's been seeing American shad over there. I know he has.
Has he? I know. I got a report from Keith that he talked to Chuck Stentz, and his boys are seeing a lot of hickory shad and chop.
Yep. And that's great news. I mean, I don't know if everybody knows Dale's, you know, was a godfather of shad.
That's true.
For the department. So, and he did help with the, he participated in the circle hook work years ago with Rudy. So, he's been around that block. Definitely been around that block.
All right. All right. Before you guys sprain your elbows, you know, patting yourselves and each other on the back, we're going to let. No, just kidding, guys. I mean, you do great work. So, listen, Dale.
Harry,
Go ahead.
No, just want to tell you, keep your head down, Harry.
All right, thanks.
Good to All right, guys. Talk to you.
Keep your head down. About the kids.
Yep.
All right, too bad. See you.
Thanks, Dale. Bye-bye. See you later. Harry?
Yes, sir.
If you got to go, we understand.
Nope. I'm glad to help.
Okay. Well, that was a good call there. Anybody else have a call on striped bass fishing in the bay? What's coming up? What the size limits are, what the season is, the forecast. Any questions like that, we'll be more than glad to try and answer them for you. We got the man on the line, folks. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And, Dale did a lot of inside baseball there, mentioning staff members and so forth. And he's Dale stays connected to the department, of course, through his connections over the past some 30-some years. But, the Fisheries Service has undergone some tremendous changes here in the last 3 or 4 years. And, with inclusion of the boating and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some unfortunate people had to shown to the door, but we won't get into that. But I want to ask this question. I don't want to put this. Let me think. Do you see the same or better attention being paid to the conservation of this species and to the health of the bay as much as ever, or better, or it's just kind of an overall thing? Is the bay getting healthy? Are the fish getting better? Somebody handed me a hat not long ago that had the Fisteria research team. I can't remember what it says, but it was during that whole time when the Fisteria hysteria took place.
And
I know Dale remembers that well, and
yep.
It was all nothing but a hoax, basically. And I talked to the outdoor writers on last Saturday. I went to talk to the outdoor writers up in Frederick, and some of the same people were there that were there during that time. And, it's like, are there any issues that are fundamentally guiding the department in its decisions on management? Are there any crises out there? The Menhaden thing, is that still a distraction, or is that still a reality, or what's going on with that?
Well, I'm not really involved in Menhaden. I'm kind of on the sidelines on that one. We help where we can, but you ask, how are things going? How's the research on striped bass? It's going the way it was 5 years ago. We're still doing the same surveys. We're still collecting
right.
the same information. The same, a lot of the same scientists are still working on it.
Right.
I think we get better. We get a little bit better every year. We get a little bit better.
Okay.
We get more information. We get more. More statistics. More. Biological information. We learn a little bit more. Striped bass has been. One of the most heavily studied species on the East Coast, and
right.
it's a major player also in fisheries. So
there's no surprises when it comes to
striped bass
anymore.
So as far as the overall department's guiding principles haven't changed at all. We're still trying to balance conservation and trying to provide the best fit of a sustainable resource
sure.
to the users, to all users in Maryland.
Okay, let me go back to this issue. Years ago, we tried to raise striped bass in our fisheries, hatcheries here in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there still a hatchery program for striped bass at all?
There's research work that's done, but really not. It really wasn't. Once the stock was recovered and then, in the mid-90s, 95, 96, was declared, recovered.
20 years ago.
Yeah, there really was no need to
right.
do that. The whole reason for the striped bass hatcheries was, to try to supplement the wild population.
Sure.
Try to get some extra fish out there. And, again, now you've got more work that's being done with, American shad, some
right.
other herrings, possibly. Of course, we have trout hatcheries and stuff, but there really wasn't a need for striped bass hatchery work. I think there's
sure.
stuff done through different places, research, research-wise, research. Hybrid work. There's some folks doing that, on the East Coast and
Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't really, not that it wasn't important or you know, helpful or beneficial, but it just is one of those things that, well, we don't really need to do that.
Don't read it. Yeah, I got it.
So, but,
we've learned all we can learn and, you know, or just about all we can learn. And, you know, just the keep repeating the same thing over and over again is just an exercise in repeating the same thing over and over again. So
yeah.
I get it. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we got healthy stocks. We've had some up and down spawning surveys. You told us just today that the you know, we're anticipating a spawn here, but the water temperature in the upper bay is only 48 degrees.
Right.
You need another what, 8 degrees for, you know, a good spawn?
Well, the striped bass will spawn between like 52 degrees. They may be spawning.
Okay.
You know, they'll spawn up into 75 degrees. The best temperature is like around 57 degrees to 56 degrees. That's where you see like the most spawning going on. That's when you see those, like, you know, those big peaks. And that's the other thing. Like, you'll have two or three spawning peaks in an area like the Potomac or the Upper Bay.
Right.
That's a beneficial, life history strategy to have. You know, you don't want to have everything spawn all at one time.
And right, right.
Cold
sure.
snap, and that's, you know, a cold snap where it might drop, you know, the water temperature might drop to 54 degrees. That's like lethal for striped bass larvae.
Right.
That's not good at all. And that's what, you know, Eric Durrell on one of the biologists, he runs the juvenile survey. That's where, you know, his work comes in and, you know, starts in July. And that's where they determine, you know, well, how good was the, you know,
how good was the, how good was the
right.
spawn? How,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, how successful it was. So, I know there's been people concerned that the timing of the fishery, the timing of this year's trophy season fishery,
yeah.
you know, starting on the 21st, and, you know, people are like, hey, it's been warm, you know, all these fish, you know, it's just hard to say what's really going to happen.
I mean, yeah.
You know, last year we had, you know, probably one record fish on the spawning grounds in the Potomac and the Upper Bay. And, you know, the trophy season, people are like, hey, you know, when are they coming? Or like, they should be coming any time. And they really didn't. I mean, the season wasn't as strong as we had hoped or anticipated. And it's just one of those things where you just don't know.
But it was good for the resource. I mean, sometimes what's bad for the recreational angler might be good for the resource.
But yeah, I mean, you could say that. But, I mean, again, striped bass is a population. It's you know, people are concerned about, did we have a trophy season? And, you know, some people are just like, oh, you know, killing those big breeders, that's terrible. And it's like, you know, guess what? They swim out of the bay, they go up the coast, they get hammered in the New England states.
Exactly.
You know, the fish the numbers of fish that Maryland on the average catches during our trophy season is like, it's less than like 2% of like what's caught on the whole East Coast in a year. I mean,
wow.
That's
right there is an interesting statistic. I did not know that.
It's not a hard number, but I mean, because it changes every year. But, you know, when you look at the total numbers of fish that are taken out of the fishery, you know, that are removed.
Right.
And then you look at the numbers that are, and that's all sizes, all ages, you know, all, you know, all fisheries.
Right.
And then, like, what we harvest in our trophy season, it's 1 to 2%, if that. So it's just, you know, and that's a good thing that, you
right.
know, we have plenty of fish on the East Coast, and people may be concerned that, hey, you know, we're hurting the population. It's like, well, we're really not, and we're giving people, you know, for some people, you know, like that person that caught that 67 pounder, you know,
right.
the record, that was a fish of a lifetime.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a memory that, yeah, you know, yeah. that was great for the industry.
Sure. A lot, got a
yeah.
lot of attention. Dylan,
yeah.
can't remember the boy's name, last name, Dylan something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I still see the picture of him standing on the sidewalk beside that fish. I mean,
he's probably still grinning.
Oh, yeah, he's around. He's still around. Yeah, I would be. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and then, of course, we had the one that's in, I think it's in Taws, that was found dead in the hatchery that was, I think, over 90 pounds at one point.
92 pounds it was.
Yeah, that's a yep. big, that's a big yep. striped bass. And we've had charter captains catch those huge fish and turn them loose, you know, just for posterity. Did not want to kill an 80-pound rockfish in Chesapeake
yeah.
Bay. I get it.
And that's a cool mentality or point of view to have. There's, you know, and I'm sure those guys, you know, feel good about doing something.
Do we still have the governor's citation for a fish over 40 inches?
Yes, I'm pretty sure we do have that whole program. That's run by, I think, Keith Lockwood out of Oxford.
Okay.
Pretty sure they still have
If you catch and release a rockfish over 40 inches, you can get a citation signed by the governor.
Yeah.
Yep, I like it.
I'm pretty sure that's still in effect. I mean, I know that
It went away for a while under the previous administration, and we'll let it go for now. But brought back. It was brought back a couple of years ago, and I hope it's still still going on. So maybe that's something we can find out here this coming week and let the folks know.
Yeah.
So all right, very good.
But yeah, folks are out there sampling now. I mean, it's underway. It's underway in the chop tank. You know, we just hope that, like I said, the worst thing that could happen would be we get an extended cold snap where water temperatures drop.
Right.
That's not good for the eggs or larvae that are out there.
We got a snowstorm in the Midwest right now today. So here we are, middle of April. So.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy weather.
Weird weather, no question about it. Yeah. So, all right. Well, Harry, look, I think I'm going to let you go, and we'll roll right on here with the rest of the show. You enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll probably talk next week.
Okay.
All right,
thanks. Thanks for having me on, Alan. I appreciate it.
All right, Harry, thank you. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Harry Hornick, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, I hope you learned something on striped bass. I did. I learned something. I really did. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Love to hear from you today, but while we're waiting, let's tell you about Harford Security in Reisterstown. Harford Security in Reisterstown. When you're talking about security, what you're really talking about is not necessarily the hardware or the software or the system. What you're talking about is peace of mind. Is this going to help me protect my valuables from the bad guys that want my guns, my jewelry, our electronics, and our valuables? Well, that's what Harford Security does. Full-featured wired and wireless alarm systems, video surveillance systems you can view on your phone, door access controls, and much, much more. Harford Security serves both the residential homes and commercial businesses, and guess what? They offer monitoring. But what's different about Harford Security monitoring and those big commercial companies is that it's low cost, okay? It's optional, so you don't have to buy that. You can monitor your own system if you want, and there's no contract. If you want them to monitor your system, you don't have to sign a big, long, 2-year contract to it's going to cost you a lot of money. So there you are. Harford Security, they offer free estimates. For your peace of mind, just give them a call. Harford Security, 410-515-0761. Visit harfordsecurity.com. That's 410-515-0761. And you'll get a 15% discount if you mention the Outdoors and Radio Show upon the installation of your system. Harford Security, serving Maryland for over 25 years. Oh, by the way, did we mention that Harford Security is owned by a state cop? I didn't think we did, but there you go. 410-515-0761, Harford Security. Let me tell you about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop one more time. Now, let's do this. How about this? Why don't we do this? Let's see here.
Information from Clyde Sporting Goods.
Or not. Well, guess we'll have to tell them. You can drop that. Here is the latest from Clyde Sporting Goods. Clyde Sporting Goods has everything you can need, want, or imagine for fishing. They got all the live and frozen baits. They got everything you could. I mean, the minnows and the bloodworms and all that. They've got all the terminal tackle too. All the hooks, all the weights, all the bobbers, all the fresh fishing line, all the rods and reels, all the. It kind of took me off guard there a little bit, just a little bit. Maybe we should have tried that before we went live with it on the air. Yes, I know you'd agree with me. But look, Clyde is getting a lot of attention, okay? Because you know what's going to happen? The first customer in the door is going, I was listening to the Outdoors and Radio Show with Alan Ellis. He tried to call your fishing hotline, and it didn't work. So somebody will alert him, okay? Maybe me. So why don't we do that? Hold on. Let's try that. Do we have time? Yeah, we got a little bit of time here. All right, here we go. 410-242-6108. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, Clyde Sports Shop.
Clyde Sports Shop.
Hey, Mike, Alan Ellis, on the air. How are you?
Okay, sir, how you doing?
Good. I just tried calling your fishing hotline. I was going to do the fishing report live on the air.
Okay.
It ain't working.
Oh, jeez. I could tell Mr. Bill about that. As soon as he gets back here, he can investigate.
Sir. I think that'd probably be a good idea.
Okay, good deal.
All right, people coming in buying bait today?
They're doing them good. They had a whole mess of people waiting for us when we got here.
Ah, all right, brother. All have right, a good sir. Day. See ya.
Have a good one.
Yep, bye. There you go. Saved it. All right, if you go to the Eastern Shore, if you live on the Eastern Shore, your first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers with the largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies is, say it with me now, Chesapeake Outdoors. Located right there off Route 50 East, exit 39B, right on Kent Island, that's Dominion Road. They've got the rubber-skirted trolling baits. That's new. Okay, it's not the synthetic hair, it's the rubber skirt. Newest thing, look alive, rockfish love them. And they also carry the habanero custom baits. Same type of thing, but, you know, you need to look at these. I mean, the colors are just spectacular on the habanero baits. And they've got the full line of planer boards, custom trolling boards. They make them right there, you know, the planer boards, the custom lines, the clips, the hooks, the flags, and everything that goes with the trolling boards. They've got all that. Rods, reels, tackle, trolling rods, you name it. They've got the Andy rods with either the Okuma or the Penn reels on them. The Costa Del Mar sunglasses for those bright days. The Yeti coolers, big ones to put your big fish in if you want. And then, of course, it is turkey season, so they have the Avian X decoys and all the shot and all the guns and camo and all that stuff, too. But let's talk about rockfish. Anything you need for rockfish is at Chesapeake Outdoors. They're right there close to the water. On Kent Island, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500, Chesapeake Outdoors. You'll be glad you did. And one more time, let me tell you about the Capital Outdoor Show coming up this weekend at the Anne Arundel County Fairgrounds. It's the Capital Outdoor Sportsman event next Saturday and Sunday, 21st and 22nd. Open from 10 to 6 each day, $10 admission or a two-day wristband for $15. Kids under 12 are free with a paid adult. Duck dogs, a lumberjack show, canine demonstrations, and much, much more. The sponsors are Leo's Vacation Center and the Maryland Association of Campgrounds, and they've got their own special RV and camping world available. There's a kids area there that's interactive with a lot of stuff, a demo area for ATVs. There's archery. There's going to be a tractor pool, an antique tractor pool on Saturday. Admission's just $5, all at the Anne Arundel County Fairgrounds in Crownsville. More information, aacountyfair.org.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Got a cold front on the way, and with that, we will see some rain for our Sunday. And ahead of that, warm temperatures today under mostly sunny skies, low to mid-80s tonight. We turn mostly cloudy overnight, low mid to upper 50s. Early showers tomorrow, steady rain later. Some patchy fog, and temperatures will be falling to around 50. Look for more showers and thunderstorms for our Sunday night, and we could see some heavy rain. Rain also, especially early Monday, maybe some thunder. Jeff Eno from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Liner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
Unless we have a medical card.
We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down.
Paul, Severna Park, thank you, buddy. What's going on?
Well, just was listening to your discussion about the breeding runs of rockfish up the tributaries,
yeah,
laying their eggs and all.
Yeah.
I work for Natural Resources. I used to be involved in different technical committees.
Okay.
And one of the persons on that committee, I think he was out of Solomon's Island then, which was the headquarters of research for University of Maryland.
Right.
Very, very experienced individual and a PhD. He said, there are 8 or 9 runs of the rockfish that go up there laying eggs.
Right.
They don't go all at once. They go over a period of time.
Right.
He said, we only need one of those runs to be successful. That's the Lord's work, and we can repopulate our entire needs for the year. He said, the rains can wash them away, and the weather temperature can destroy. He said, just one run. That's all we need.
Well, good. Well, thank
I
you.
I thought that was amazing.
That is amazing. All right, Paul. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
Sorry.